why don't we stand for prayer? Usual. And we'll pray for a blessing on this new moon that we have in front of us and before us. Our Father, thou art holy, and all thy works are done in truth. On this new moon day, we with thy creation praise thy name, O Yahweh. For as thou commanded, all were created. As thou established the heavens forever and ever by a decree which shall not pass, so we come. As thou hast appointed the moon for seasons which are for thy worship, so we worship. As the moon be a faithful witness of thy covenant, and the heavens ordained by thy word, so we praise thy faithfulness. As it is, so shall it be commanded in thy kingdom to come, in the new heavens and the new earth, that all flesh worship before thee, from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, as thou hast said by thy holy prophets. So do we come before thee this day, which thou hast made, O Lord. We now bow the knee, and we confess the name of Jesus Christ and his blood of the new covenant to the glory of thou, our Father. We ask to accept our humble praise and worship this day through the sanctification of the Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ, thy only begotten Son, our Lord and our Mediator and our only High Priest. Amen. Well, we have our usual song of praise for the new moon. She knows. 148A. Hallelujah, from heaven's praise, Yahweh in highest praise to him be. All ye his angels, praise ye him. His host all praise him, ye praise him. Oh, praise ye him, both sun and moon. Praise him, all stars of light, praise him. Ye ends of heaven, them praise and flood. Above the heaven's height, praise him. Let all the creatures praise the name. Shall endure, praise him. Out of the mouth of babes. Hand me the trumpet right there. We'll go to Psalm 81, which is the very next one. Pretty good to remember the context here, not just sing it as part of our tradition of singing this psalm on the new moon, but remember what it says about what forgetting the new moon means. Important as well. Sing thou to God our strength with joy, to Jacob's God do sing. Take up a psalm, the pleasant harp, timbrel and psaltery bring. Blessed our feast appointed is. Jacob.
of God was this. To Joseph and God testimony, he made when Egypt planned. He traveled through where speech I heard, I did not understand. His shoulder I from burdens took, his hands from bonds did free. Thou didst in trouble on me call, and I delivered thee. In secret place of thundering, I did the answer make. And at the streams of Meribah, of thee approved it take. People give an ear, I'll testify to thee. To thee, O Israel, if thou wilt, but hearken unto me. In midst of thee there shall not be any strange God at all, nor unto any God unknown thou bowing down shalt fall. I am the Lord thy God, which did from Egypt land thee guide. I'll fill thy mouth abundantly, do thou it open wide. But yet my people to my voice would not attentive be. And in my chosen Israel, he would have none of me. So to the lusts of their own heart, I am delivered. And them in counsels of their own, they vainly wander in. Oh, that my people had me heard, Israel my ways that chose. I had their enemies to subdue, my hand turned on their foes. The haters of the Lord to him submission should have paid. But as for them, their time should have forevermore remained. Should have also fed them with the finest of the wheat. Of honey from the rock thy fill, I should have made them eat.
You know, something that I noticed this time singing through, which I've noticed before, but I guess stuck out to me, was that the haters of the Lord should have feigned submission. They should have faked it. God's saying that if you don't really feel it, it's still good. I guess that you fake it. If you're his enemy, it would have been a lot better for you. Why don't we go to Psalm 89, which is in the very back of the New Moon booklet. D, and we'll save Psalm 19 for ending.
I'll make him my firstborn more high than kings of any land. My love will ever keep for him, my covenant fast shall stand. His seed I by my power will make forever to endure. And as the days of heaven is thrown, shall stable be and sure. But if his children shall forsake my laws and go astray, and in my judgment walk, but wander from my way. If they my laws break and do not keep my commandments, I'll visit their foes with rod, their sins with chastisement. Yet I'll not take my love from him, nor all my promise make. My covenant I'll not break nor change, what with my mouth I say. Once by my holiness I swear, to David I'll not lie. His seed and throne shall as the sun before me last for aye. It like the moon shall ever be established at that and like to that which in the heaven doth witness faithfully.
It's one of those important new moon songs that show us that the covenant of God is everlasting like the moon. And I always like to remind people that say, well, the moon's not faithful enough for us to use for timekeeping. And that song says the opposite. Well, we have some picked scriptures here for resuscitation today to remind everyone why we go against the flow of the world in our worship, which is important because if you weren't reminded of that, you might not know why we do that and choose to worship the way we do. So it is important to keep these scriptures in mind. And so there's a list starting with Genesis, the second page in the New Moon book, that we'll say together and go through. And then there's also one apocryphal reference at the very end on the very next page that we'll go through also. And then we will go on to the New Covenant and we will reaffirm the pledge of the covenant. Genesis 1, 14 through 15. And God said,
let there be light in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from night,
and let them be
for times and for seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven
to give light upon the earth. Numbers 10:10. In the day of our gladness, and in our solemn days, and in the new moons, in the beginning of our months,
we shall blow with the trumpets
over our burnt offerings and over our sacrifices of our peace offerings,
that they may be to us for a memorial before our God, for Yahweh is our Lord.
Romans 12:1 then puts that into perspective. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
This is our reasonable service.
Amen. This comes from Sirach 43:1-10. It is the it is an apocryphal book, but cited by many people in church history as something we need to study and understand. The pride of the height and the clear firmament.
The beauty of heaven with its glorious shell.
The Lord made the moon also to serve in her season.
For decoration of times and the sign of the world.
From the moon is the sign of the feasts.
In light that increases in her perfection.
The moon is called after her name.
Increasing wonderfully in her changing.
Being an instrument of the armies above.
Shining in the firmament of heaven.
Go to the New Covenant page, and right across from it is the Pledge of the Covenant. The New Covenant is contained in Hebrews chapter 8, 7 through 13, and it comes from Jeremiah 31 through 34. And so this is an important part of Scripture, being that it was stated in that way, and then it was reminded in the book of Hebrews as how it was fulfilled. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith,
behold, the day is come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt.
Because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith Yahweh.
For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord.
I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother,
saying, Know the Lord.
For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest.
For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
In that he saith, A new covenant, he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. The pledge of the covenant, this comes from Jeremiah 31, 35 through 37, and it is obviously in the same chapter as Jeremiah 31, which states the terms of the covenant. Thus saith Yahweh, which giveth the sun for a light by day,
and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar.
Yahweh of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith Yahweh,
then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever.
Thus saith Yahweh, if heaven
above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth search out beneath,
I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith Yahweh. So you may be seated. We have some Bible study here. We'll go over the liturgy for the new moon. And then we will come back to finishing things up. Does anybody know off the top of their head what the name of the eighth month is in the Bible? Does anybody know what the name of the eighth month is in Scripture? Come on, we got a bunch of them in the field. Bull. Bull, they're in the fields everywhere. The month or the moon of Bull is what it is called in Scripture. We're told in Scripture that in the 11th year, in the moon Bull, which is the eighth month, was the house of God finished throughout all the parts thereof according to the fashion of it. So was he, talking about Solomon, 7 years in building it. That's 1 Kings 6:38. And so we are given the exact correspondence of the eighth Kodesh, which means renewal. Kodesh is the usual word for new moon. And it is called the moon of Bull, or the Yerek of Bull. The word Yerek is the Hebrew word for the disk in the sky that we see. But the monthly reckoning of the disk in the sky is called the Kodesh. And Kodesh literally means renewal or a new thing. And so we have the name of that. We're also told that there are multiple things that happen in this month, some of which is not very great. We're going to go over Zechariah chapter 1 today in Bible study, which is what we're going to use for Bible study. And that's one thing that we can consider, as we'll get into. But also, it's a good time to also mention that in the eighth month, there was a great sin that happened. Anybody know what great sin took place in the eighth month of Israel's calendar? Yeah, we got two. Anyone want to say? Jeroboam's sin. Jeroboam who caused Israel to sin. Now here's a trick question, since nobody knew that the month's name was Bull and everyone's scratching their head. What does the word bull mean? It has to do with agricultural things and farming, so... No, no. Bull means storage or increase. In other words, kind of like canning jars or like food is dried or things like that. The month of Bull is the time of storage and increase. And so by this point in the agricultural year, everything's been put away out of the field. You've celebrated in the seventh month with all your increase and all the ingathering. And now it is the time of Bull, the time of the storage, where you start eating out of your canning jars, you start eating out of your dried foods, you start eating out of the grain that you had harvested and the wine that you had put away and all that kind of stuff. So that is a important part of the liturgy of the month to consider as we go through the regular new moon scriptures. So with that being said, why don't we go to the book of Zechariah. And we will read a place where the Lord God Yahweh has chosen
to teach us about the eighth month and give us a lesson to be remembered at this time.
Grab our bulletins. We'll sing Psalm 19. lay it to our heart in understanding some of those complicated things out of the Bible that we very often, I think sometimes take for granted and other times don't think enough about. So it just depends on what side you're on. The Athanasian Creed. Whosoever will be saved, therefore, before all things, it's necessary that he hold the uniting faith.
Which faith except everyone to keep whole and undefiled, without doubt, shall perish everlastingly.
And the uniting faith is this,
that we worship one Yahweh God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity,
neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance.
For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit.
But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit is all one.
The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, and the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, and the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
And also there are not three uncreated, nor three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
So likewise the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet they are not three gods, but one God.
So likewise the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Spirit Lord.
And yet not there are three Lord Yahwehs, but one Yahweh.
For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be God and Lord,
so are we forbidden by the united religion to say, there be three gods or three lords.
The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten.
The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding.
So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons. One Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is afore or after another. None is greater or lesser than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal and co-equal.
So that in all things, as aforesaid, the unity is in Trinity, and the Trinity is in unity to be worshipped.
He therefore that will be saved must not think of the Trinity.
Furthermore, it is necessary in everlasting salvation that one also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man.
God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the world, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world.
Perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul in human flesh subsisting.
Equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood.
Who although he be God and man, yet he is not two but one Christ.
One not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God.
One altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as a reasonable soul in flesh is one man, so God in man is one Christ.
Who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, he sitteth on the right hand of the Father God Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
At his coming all men shall rise again with their bodies,
and shall give account for their own works.
And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire.
This is the uniting faith, which except one believe, they shall not be saved. Let's end here in a word of prayer. We'll ask for blessing on our meal as well. Tonight, Christian, would you mind coming in prayer tonight?
No, I wouldn't. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another day of your grace and mercy, Lord. Thank you for your mercies that are new every morning. Please help us to remember that as we wake up. We do thank you for the Sabbath and the new moon, God. Please help us to take seriously what Isaiah said, that, that your Sabbath and your new moons will be celebrated throughout the ages. I pray that you'd open up the eyes of others when it comes to your holy days, God, that they would see that and rejoice and see the practical applicability of it, God. And God, I continue to ask that you would cause us to love you with our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Help us to live in integrity and righteousness, God, and in your holy law. And I ask that you would bear much fruit of the Spirit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and gentleness, and self-control, God. That would just increase more and more in our lives. I pray that you'd help us with this new month, God, that we would work hard as unto you. Please just help us financially, God, and just in practical areas in our life. I pray that you'd give us more wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Make us more skilled with our hands. And please continue to bless Levi and his work. Make him even a better woodworker, God. Please help him to do it for your glory and your kingdom come. And maybe that he could train others as well, whatever you see fit in that. Thank you for the food that we're about to eat. Pray that you bless it. Help us always be thankful for the fruit of the earth. Thank you for this winter season, God. Help us, even though sometimes it can get cold and depressing at times. Help us to still take joy in it. Maybe for those who have a rough time during the season, help us to take joy in it and to know that you are the creator of all seasons. And so we do just bless your name, Father. I ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.